previous program was The Minefield heard Tuesdays, Wednesdays, correction, heard Wednesdays at 2 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned for Interpersonal Update with Dr. Harriet Fraud coming up.
This is Dr. Harriet Fraud with Interpersonal Update. Before I begin today's program on psych drugs, I'd like you to take out your pen and write down two important numbers. The first is the listener call-in number. I want to hear from you. I want to hear your reactions, your ideas, your questions. Just hear from you. This is the number. Please note it down. 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. The other important number is our pledge number. If this program inspires you to want to contribute to the very worthy station that is BAI, where you can hear programs like this only on this station, please call 212-209-2950. Please remember to support us first by calling in 212-209-2877 and then pledging if you possibly can. 212-209-2950. Okay, today I want to talk about the psychopharmaceutical industry in the United States, because the United States is the biggest consumer of psych drugs in the whole world. We are the only nation in the world that allows direct-to-consumer advertising, including, of course, the advertisements for psych drugs. The others don't, because really, drugs have very important effects on the body and brain, and hustling drug companies that just want to make money off you shouldn't have that special way of reaching you through ads. However, we allow that. The United States is, I think, between 4.4, some people say, and the other 5% of the world's population. However, we use 66% of the world's psych drugs. Quite impressive. One in five adults and one in 10 children are prescribed psych drugs. That's very important because psych drugs are quite a capitalist hoax. The biggest sales are sales for depression using serotonin uptake inhibitors. The big scandal is in the big studies that are done in countries that have public health care systems and whose research is not funded by the drug companies. Little aside, in the United States, almost all the research that we read on the drugs we take is done by the pharmaceutical industries themselves, and they certainly have a vested interest in coming out positive. I had a client who was a researcher for a big drug company, and she left because there was so much pressure to come out with positive reviews for drugs that had dangerous side effects. In any case, 1 in 5 American adults takes a psych drug. 1 in 10 American children are prescribed a psych drug, usually Ritalin. Ritalin was already exposed to be a conspiracy between the drug company that produced it and psychiatrists that wrote it up as a wonderful cure for children's focus on homework. And now schools often require Ritalin. They don't require a curriculum that has a lot of physical activity and helps kids learn, but that they sit there quietly and the drug helps. Even the U.S. Institutes of Mental Health say that the diagnostic statistical manual that's used that narrows down psychological diagnoses and immediately plugs them into medications is wrong, because they say nothing about why people got upset in the first place. However, the National Institute of Mental Health does not have a huge advertising budget. And of course, advertising of drugs have huge advertising budgets. To go back to the topic of drugs for depression, which are the most prevalent psych drugs used in the United States, they're called serotonin uptake inhibitors. And according to the study of thousands of patients in England by a man named Whitaker, a scientist and doctor named Whitaker, they work only as well as a sugar pill 75% of the time. And yet they do have side effects. In the case of Prozac, the most widely prescribed of these drugs, if you get joint pain or a rash, you have to stop or you die. And getting off of these psych drugs can give you brain zaps, kind of electric zaps in your brain, and disorientation and horrendous depression. In the 75% of people who they don't work at all, they can seem to work for a week or so because of something called the Hawthorne effect, which is if you think that something will help you, you feel like it does at first until the dawning realization, wait a minute, I do feel the same sad way I felt before. So there is a hoax. There's a hoax that mental health drugs cure mental health problems. That is proven incorrect. That is wrong. They don't work. They're based on a theory that psychological disturbances are caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain. Well, everything you do, everything, listening to this program, looking at a good TV program or a bad one or anything else, causes a biochemical reaction in the brain. So that your depression isn't because of chemicals. It's because of the life you're living. It's because of the problems you have. It's because often the sense of being totally abandoned that you have as a member, for example, in the United States, the biggest user, because your government isn't doing much to make sure you stay alive or help you when you're poor or down or cure you when you're ill without paying an enormous amount of money. And so that is a hoax. One of the most really amazing discoveries by a global newsletter called Vision Gain, which does its Vision Gain research, found that the U.S. mental disorder drug market is worth $58.91 billion. So they're making $58.91 billion. Those are the figures in 2021. Convincing you that you need a drug you don't need and which actually can do you harm and doesn't help you, because it doesn't look at the causes of what happened and try to help you get over it the way a good therapist would. a bizarre and frightening illustration is the drug Zyprexa, put out by Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson. It was designed for adult schizophrenia, but a doctor called Dr. Biederman, a professor of child psychiatry at Harvard, wrote an article saying that Zyprexa was very good for children with behavior disorders. Dr. Biederman was also the head of the chief editor of the Child Psychiatry Journal, the most prevalently read journal for child psychiatrists. For his service in suggesting that Zyprexa was such a miracle for children, he received $3.4 million, and Harvard, his department at Harvard, got many millions of dollars to expand his research. Meanwhile, the children who were prescribed became obese and diabetic and got no help with any behavioral problems they had. It was a terrible scandal. And when that scandal hit the news, I was impressed by one of Dr. Biederman's assistants, who was asked by a newscaster, "Well, what about Zyprexa? Why was it recommended for children when it hurts them so terribly, gives them diabetes, and doesn't help them at all?" And the guy said quite honestly, "Hey, if you're racing towards $1 billion, you pay the traffic ticket. And if you have a capitalist for sale healthcare industry, that's what happens. You are sold a bill of goods in order to make a company excess profits," which of course are not taxed as excess profits, nor are they arrested for deceiving people and hurting people, adults and children alike. Now I'd like to take a caller. Hello, caller, you're on WBAI, and welcome. Let me know your name and where you're from. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Fratt. It's Russell up in White Plains.
Good. Hi, Russell.
Hi. Now, Dr. Fratt, I'd like you to put aside your own biases and hear. I'm coming from a good place because I like you, your family, your son, and your daughter. But I'd like to know if you think vaccines are a form of psych drugs, because they do address anxiety and fear that's ginned up by the government. There's a need to feel better than other people, which, of course, is a way to counter depression. So feeling better than unvaxxed people helps with that. And I believe there's a placebo effect. A lot of people think that these vaccines are helping them. So I want to know, do you think that these vaccines are really a form of psych drugs?
No, I don't. I don't think they're a form of psych drugs. I think they're well-researched. I think that the right wing is casting doubt wherever they can, just like they said that there was no such thing as COVID and you should take ivermectin or Clorox even to cure yourself. No, I don't think so. I think that just as we have vaccines against smallpox and against measles and mumps and German measles,
right,
and whooping cough, these are useful vaccines. I'm not saying that they really had enough time to completely prove that.
Right.
They didn't, but they really look good. And scientists like Dr. Fauci, who has really angered the right wing, but has been very honest, approves them, and I approve them. So
Dr.
I
Fred,
don't think they're a form of psych drug, because they're not.
Dr. Fred, is it helpful to cast it as a right wing, left wing thing? Or do you think that's really divisive and not really making the connection, which is the basis of mental health? Dr. Fratt, I ask you to examine your own beliefs, because a lot of people think drug psych medicines are good, that they help a lot of people with the problems. There's the placebo, and the fact that they believe it, it's good for them. And if you want to take a vaccine, that's good for you. But when you start infringing on other people, when you start telling me that someone should take Zyprexa because they don't like the way you're behaving, I think that's the same thing, Dr. Fred. Please.
Well, I don't think so. We see it differently, Russell, but thank you very much.
Thank you for hearing me. Thank you. Thank you for hearing
me. It was good for you to call and air your view.
Anytime. I'll keep sending money to the station. Thank you.
Okay, good. Hello, next caller. Please tell me your name. Hello, next caller. Well, we'll proceed with the program, and when that next caller gets whatever it is to call in, please do so. Remember, our call-in number is 212-209-2877. People don't like to hear that psych drugs are a hoax because they want help. They want help with the real pain that they feel. They feel pain because the American empire is failing. We have lost the last four wars. People are unprotected. Our country has had over a million deaths from COVID, even though we're 333 million. We have the most COVID deaths in the whole world, so people feel unprotected. Plus, families that used to stay together, and this was the case for whites only, because only white males got a family wage, but for a long time, men got a family wage until the mid-1970s, which could support dependent wives and children. And women stayed with men because they were taken care of and their children were protected. That's over. That family is over. The black family, which had more separations and more single parents, did because black men were never given the family wage that would support a dependent wife and children. And so it was a terrible pain for them to be able to not be able to support their children. And they were called irresponsible, unreliable, but there was a deep financial basis for this. And that's why black women have always had to work, as have other minority women. So the family is no longer really what it was. The overwhelming majority of people get separated or divorced. Now, only 50% get legally separated or divorced, but another 15 to 20% just call it quits if they don't have any joint savings that are contested or property, or they're not contested over their children, then they just split and go their separate ways. And so that big support for emotional life in the United States has collapsed, leaving people very lonely because we don't have the kind of child care and after school care and maternity and paternity leaves and free summer camps that the other Europeans have. And so people have been left distraught and lonely. We have another caller calling. Hello, caller. Please tell us your name and say what you need to say. Well, hello, caller. If you're not ready, well, too bad. I'll go on to someone else. Whoever wants to call, please do. We have to face that we have been defrauded as a nation, that one out of five of us is taking a drug that could hurt us terribly if we withdraw from it, but that can't cure us at all. The actual cure is working together. Working together to make America a better place for all of us. Joining organizations like Black Lives Matter, like climate extinction, like the sexual liberation movements, like the, there's even mental health organizations of people who feel that we ought to have better mental health care, of feminist organizations all together so that we can win and have a better, fairer life for all of us. Hello, I'm taking another caller. Please tell us your name and welcome.
Good afternoon, Dr. Fraud. My name is Carla. Thank you for your presentation today. I would like to ask a related question. You know, now that marijuana is becoming legal, it's been legal out west for a while, and it's a booming business. but it's starting here in the Northeast, you know, New Jersey and New York and stuff. But I noticed that there's a lot of marketing around marijuana and different types of cannabis products, like it's supposedly is a good painkiller or it helps with anxiety. But it seems like the research to back up these claims is really flimsy or non-existent. Are you able to comment about this?
Yes, I do. The research isn't there. And to back that up, I mean, some people do mellow out when they take marijuana. And it's some people are helped with anxiety. Other people become paranoid and violent. Other people become utterly listless. Other people become depressed.
You're taking a chance on it then, right? I mean, since there's no...
You can't count on that. No, you can't. And it's like the rest of the drug industry. It's, you know, in the United States, there used to be, not anymore, but there was one publication called the Medical Letter that only published research that was not funded by drug companies. It's no longer in existence. All our research is funded by drug companies, and we haven't even done that research on marijuana and its various effects on different people, because everyone's body is biochemically different. And the way marijuana affects people is different. And some of those differences are really healthy and happy and useful. And others are terribly damaging. And so the research isn't out, and they're marketing as if it was. Just like with the psych drugs, the research actually shows they don't cure anything, even though they often do numb you. They do numb you and take away your emotional intensity, but they never cure you. And yet they are advertised all the time as if they will make you happy. They don't. And when you try to withdraw, you can get terrible side effects. And I think marijuana is no exception. And it needs research. All of these things need research to be responsible. We are a country in which medicine and basically health is a commodity that you buy. That's why poor people die so much faster here than they do even in a poor country that gives good medical care, like Cuba, or other countries with public health systems, like England and France and Germany. And so Americans are abandoned. And when research is published, it's published by the people who are making the drugs. And so they have a vested interest in falsifying it. Some of it might be true, but you sure can't count on it. And you can't with marijuana either. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, anyone else wants to call? We still have a chance to hear from you. And we'd like to, but you have to go fast because we're almost finished. At any rate, as a summary statement, because we are nearing the end of our time, psych drugs are a fraud that have benefited companies in the big corporations, psych pharma in the United States, to the tune of $58.91 billion, and it has left Americans numbed out, dumbed down, and still miserable and uncured. We can do better than that by just joining together around a hope for change. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for participating. Goodbye for today. It's Harriet Fraud.
Lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor, the rich get rich. That's how it goes.
WTFW in Washington and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. China today appeared to begin winding down its military drills around the island of Taiwan, but warned in a statement that it would seek reunification with Taiwan, quote, taking all necessary measures, end quote. The statement, which comes after a week of Chinese missile firings and air and water exercises around Taiwan, said Beijing would prefer peaceful reunification, but that it is prepared to use force against, quote, interference by external forces or radical action by separatist elements, end quote. Yesterday, Taiwan's foreign minister said China's drills suggest territorial ambitions across the Western Pacific. The drills, which disrupted flights and cargo shipping in the region, came in response to a visit to Taiwan last week by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, the highest-level U.S. visit to the island in 25 years. Earlier this week, Beijing had announced an extension of the exercises, but did not clarify when they would formally end. Filipino activist and scholar Walden Bello was arrested this week on cyber libel charges and was released after posting bail. Bello was accused last year of committing libel against vice presidential candidate Sara Duterte, whose father Rodrigo Duterte had repressed critics and journalists as president. On Monday, Bello wrote in a tweet that, quote, "These people are mistaken if they think they can silence me and suppress my exercise of free speech," end quote. In an interview today, Bello called for the decriminalization of libel in the Philippines, a move supported by journalistic organizations. The United States announced yet another shipment of arms to Ukraine on Monday, pledging $1 billion worth of rockets, ammunition, and other weapons directly from Pentagon stockpiles. The shipment comes as Western analysts warn that Russia is moving its troops to southern Ukrainian port cities to stave off a counteroffensive. The U.S. has provided a total $9 billion in arms assistance since Russian troops invaded Ukraine in late February. Congress in May authorized a total $40 billion in economic and security aid. In announcing the new package, Defense Undersecretary Colin Cowell suggested that the U.S. might include aircraft in future weapons deliveries. A Mississippi grand jury has decided not to indict the white woman whose accusations led to the lynching of Emmett Till nearly 70 years ago, a prosecutor said yesterday. The decision not to indict comes despite new revelations about an unserved arrest warrant and a memoir by the woman, Carolyn Bryant Dunham. After hearing over 7 hours of testimony from investigators and witnesses, the LaFleur County Grand Jury determined last week that there was insufficient evidence to indict Dunham on charges of kidnapping and manslaughter. Till's killers were acquitted by an all-white jury in 1955, but later admitted to the lynching. And President Biden yesterday signed a $280 billion package to boost domestic manufacturing, especially of computer chips. The bill was approved by large bipartisan majorities in both chambers of Congress late last month. The CHIPS and Science Act would invest over $52 billion in new domestic chip production and $170 billion in scientific research in areas